American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Just a quickie here out of Florida. And see if this rubs you the same way that it rubbed me, the wrong way. Now, it sounds good on the surface, but what they're doing in Florida, Governor Jeb Bush said Tuesday he intends to sign a bill that would allow people who feel threatened, even on a street or a baseball game, to meet force with force and defend themselves without fear of prosecution. The measure, the top priority of the National Rifle Association in Florida this year, passed the House 94-20 on Tuesday. It had already passed the Senate. Bush, who has championed tougher penalties for people convicted of using guns in crime, said the bill is about self-defense and called it a good common-sense anti-crime issue. The measure essentially extends the right Floridians already have in their home or car. Under present law, however, people attacked anywhere else are supposed to do what they can do to avoid escalating the situation and can use deadly force only after they've tried to retreat. Now, Dennis Baxley, the sponsor of the bill, said, "I'm sorry, people, but if I'm attacked, I shouldn't have the duty to retreat. That's a good way to get shot in the back," he said. Baxley said if the people have the clear right to defend themselves without having to worry about legal consequences, criminals will think twice. Opponents feared the bill would make Florida resemble the Wild West, but defenders say it is no different from what most other states allow in laws governing self-defense. The bill says a person has the right to stand his or her ground and meet force with force, including deadly force, if he or she reasonably believes it is necessary to do so to prevent death or great bodily harm to himself or herself or another. Folks, we already had that. Why are we passing a bill in Florida to specifically spell that out? Now the state of Florida is stepping in and what? Throwing their authority around with somebody with something that was already initially our right to do. My property, me, I have the right to protect my property. And wherever this property goes, meaning me, I have the right to protect it. So why do we need a bill? You see my point. All right. Keith, go ahead.
Thank you very much for holding me over, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, first of all, as far as the this old West analogy is concerned that the liberal gun grabbers use.
Yeah.
Well, as far as, if I'm not mistaken, the Colt 45 revolver brought law and order to the old West. And that's why it was nicknamed the Peacemaker.
Yeah.
So their argument is fatuous, as usual.
Sure. Sure it is. But let's get back to the point we were talking about.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm sorry if I stammered there a little bit, but again, the courts, you know, they've come to the same conclusion over and over again that, like it or not, Michael Schievel has legal guardianship over his wife, and that he had to make a decision. Is this the type of existence that Terry would have wanted? And he believed no. As far as she wasn't even really alive, technically. All the MRI scans of her brain, they showed nothing inside her head except spinal fluid where the brain used to be. So she really could not have – she had no sense of herself. She had no – there was no way she could have felt any pain or discomfort in the last 15 years since she was basically a vegetable.
No, that's incorrect because she even had a broken femur, I do believe that it was, and she was talking. She was not always in this state.
Oh, I understand. Yes, that's true.
Okay,
that's true.
So the argument here is that if these monies, which was designated specifically for her rehabilitation, not warehousing, if Michael Schievel, and I'm reading, you know, I don't know if you heard me or not, I'm reading these points that these people are making about impeaching Judge Greer on this, that if in fact Michael Schievel, if he was doing his duty as guardian to put that money toward what it was supposed to go to and not paying lawyer fees, would she be in the state that she was when they killed her? All right, we'll take the break here. We'll be back in just a minute. Keith, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
I I can't believe it.
It truly is amazing.
You have to care enough about yourself to want to do something.
If you're tired of feeling sick or run down, this truly is the answer. I have so much energy now.
It makes you feel good.
And it's all natural.
Everyone in my family takes Cardivite.
Cardivite.
Cardivite. We all use Cardivite.
Ladies and gentlemen, Heart Drop 2000 presents Cardivite. Cardivite is an all-natural supplement which is made up of our own special blend of herbs gathered from many different parts of the world, specially designed to improve your health. Come on and care about yourself just a little more with Cardivite. You can find more information at www.cardovite.us or call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822.
Cardivite is a natural thing. Gives you the edge like you've never seen. It makes you feel good. Go to fight.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
At 11:40 p.m. on April 14, 1912, while plowing recklessly through an ice field, the HMS Titanic collided with an iceberg. 2 hours later, she was resting on the bottom. Today, you are in a similar ship, the USS America. She, too, is plowing through history, promoting reckless fiscal and monetary policies amid tides of terrorism that threaten our security. And there is a storm brewing as if even nature was against us. Like the Titanic, we are on a course with a similar destiny. What are you going to do? Hop aboard a well-provisioned lifeboat with Ready Reserve Foods. Contact Ready Reserve Foods and ask how you can prepare your family with the basic survival needs. Call 1-800-453-2202 for great tasting dehydrated foods that require no refrigeration and keep preserved for years. Call 1-800-453-2202 and stock your lifeboat. Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Bill, you wanted to make a point here.
Yeah, I wanted to make one correction. Hopefully Keith is still listening. When he called in, he said that he disagreed with both John and me on the Terry Schiavo case. And I didn't even give an opinion on the Terry Schiavo case, so I don't really know how he could disagree with me. I knew there was media spin, the major media, and then there were different kinds of spin going on the Internet. Some of it may have been factual, some of it may not have been, but I don't know what was factual or not, so I didn't give an opinion as to specifically the Terry Schiavo case other than to say that even if she wanted assisted suicide, I doubt if she would have chosen to be dehydrated and starved to death. And so she probably would have chose something quick and painless. And if the state decides to kill her, then they should not have chosen to dehydrate her or starve to death. They don't do that with death row inmates. We don't do that with our beloved pets. So my opinion was, since I don't know what the facts of that case really were, that at least she should not have been tortured to death, no matter who decided.
And I think the issue here is whether Judge Greer was a fair judge, and rather than, because obviously Terry Schindler couldn't be in court to add her 2 cents, but he sided with the husband. Now, he rightfully thinks that he did the correct thing. He was assuming that this conversation took place between Michael and Terry, which, you know, if you tried to walk in with in a court of law with hearsay evidence, you know, he said, she said kind of thing, they would disallow it in a New York second. But I think what Greer was trying to do was protect under the statutes and under the law about man and woman, marriage, you know, the rights. And essentially, I think it was Keith that said that, well, when she left the brood, when she left the house, when she was at legal age, you know, the parental rights over that child stops. And that very well may be correct. It sounds good to me. And then if you marry, your spouse has certain rights. You have certain joint rights together. But my argument is about this, that he was not looking at the case initially. He was ruling just on that issue. He wasn't going back through the case because, as Keith said, well, there's many rulings on this case. Well, many rulings doesn't make a right ruling. I have seen case after case after case, same case, trying to change the case law, trying to change the precedent. I've seen so many wrong and bad rulings, and I'm not a judge and I'm not a lawyer, nor do I want to be. But the point is that they took this. It was like a little soundbite. They just took it out of context. Okay, we're going to examine this little issue here. And I'll continue saying this. Would Terry Schindler be in the shape that she was if the monies that were delegated for her rehabilitation, not laying around, no stimulus, no nothing, no range of motion, no physical therapy, no brain stimulus, no nothing, what would your brain be after 15 years? I'll bet you somebody could scan your brain and they wouldn't see anything else there but fluid. You know, what happens to you? Your brain atrophies, folks. It's an organ of your body. Try not using a limb and see what happens to it. Have your leg in a cast for months. Your muscles atrophy. If you don't use it, it dries up and blows away. Go back to the phones here. Hugh in Tennessee. Hello, Hugh.
John?
Yes, sir.
I hardly know what to say. I was really...
Well, first of all, Hugh, just let me say something. You were the one that called in the Rick Adams show?
Yes.
And you made that horrible statement about you didn't think that races should mix and they should remain pure?
Yes.
You know, I had a talk show host that took that totally out of context and quit the network.
Yes.
But you know what? I don't care. Go ahead, Hugh.
Yeah. John, I'll tell you, I didn't really do it to upset your...
Oh, no, he totally missed a point because, you know what, I didn't hear any of that program. And from time to time, I drop in on talk show host shows to tell them, you know, thank you for being on the network. Thank you for caring about America. Thank you for, you know, putting your opinions out there. You know, I mean, this is a passionate thing we got going here. And I didn't hear any of the show, and I just did a drop-in at the end of the show, and then this one guy, he just went off the deep end. He said, you know, you people are twisting. I can't be a part of that anymore. And he up and quit, and man, am I glad he did.
Yes, okay. That sounds good to me, of course.
Well, anyhow, Hugh, what'd you call about?
Yes, back to the thing of taking the woman's life. Terry Schindler, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. It seems so strange, talking about her husband. They were both young at the time this happened, I suppose. It would seem so strange that before this happened, they'd have a discussion like that her choice would be if this happened.
Yeah, I mean, because when you're that age and you're first married, you're making plans for life. You're not making plans for death. You're thinking about buying a home. You're thinking about having children. You're thinking about what your interests are with your spouse. You're thinking about everything else on the face of the planet, not death.
Absolutely. That's why it seems as though that it most likely wouldn't be true, that it would be false.
Well, that would be my assumption.
Yes, exactly.
And I made a statement. Bill, have you done any research on the living wills? Do you know anything about those?
Some. I haven't researched that in depth.
Okay. What I said was, you know, you can't cover every contingency, but a living will designates, and we're saying short of a government that assumes authority over certain aspects of your life, a living will, I said, would spell out exactly what your wishes were. You know, I mean, husband and wives have conversations. They have arguments. They say mean things to each other that they later apologize about. You know, there are truths and falsehoods that are passed between husband and wife all the time. But for this judge to rule on this, yeah, good point. When exactly did this conversation take place?
And even one of the problems with a living will is the government has already prohibited us from putting in one of our options. Because my option would be, at a certain point, to not pull the tubes or not starve me or dehydrate me to death. My option would be to allow me the right of assisted suicide.
What did Pope John Paul II do? When he went into his last relapse, he was conscious, he was cognitive. He told him, he said, look, don't take me back to the hospital. He said, let the good Lord take me. And that's exactly what happened. That's why Pope Paul II is dead right now, because he wanted to go. He figured it was his time, the Lord wouldn't object, and there he is. He told him, don't put a tube in me. Let me go. The Pope here, John Paul II. Thanks for your call, Hugh. I appreciate it. Doug in Florida. Hello, Doug.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Just three things. You said the judges were voted or were in for life here in Florida, and that's not true.
Okay, you're talking circuit courts?
All the courts in Florida, except the Supreme Court, which is that's an approved position.
Okay,
now, there is a constitutional amendment that was put on the ballot about two sessions ago, I guess, and that allowed the individual counties to select appointing or voting in.
I was not aware of that. Thanks
for
the correction.
Yeah, but that's the way it is.
All right.
Okay, also on contract law, this is just for your information. This is from a 1938 case, and they have it's a Westlaw, and they have a key thing. It says, freedom to make contracts is not absolute, but qualified right, and is subject to reasonable restraint in interest of public welfare. The only reason I bring this up is because it cites the constitutional U.S. Amendment 14 rather than the body of the Constitution. So,
let me interject one thing on that. In 1938 and later, they started ruling on public policy rather than public law. That's why many of the, you can't even find citations prior to 1938 anymore. There is nothing in the Constitution that allows the government the right to interfere with the obligation of a contract. In fact, it specifically prohibits it. Now, when you're talking about public policy rather than public law, anything goes. The state can do anything it wants. I'm not talking about that. I'm looking at the Constitution and law, not public policy.
I'm not arguing one way or the other. I haven't investigated this part. I've just thought that I've seen this 14th Amendment brought up so much and has taken so many things away from us that it's just when you don't consider it, it's just wrong not to consider it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And the last thing was my dad died about 2 years ago, and he died of just what Terry Schiavo did, but he did it. He signed the release and all, but the order was put on the door because he had cancer, and there was no other way that I know of that he could have executed himself. And it took him about 2 weeks too. And the thing that I don't understand is everybody has in their power to suicide, and it's a very, very easy way to do it, of course, and it's painless, and that's carbon monoxide poisoning. You know, it's easy to kind of go away. So I don't know why anybody really has to get too excited about it. Except in the case of Terry Schiavo, where she couldn't elect it. But.
Well, most people don't want to kill themselves when they could do it, because they're functioning okay. The people that usually want to die are after they've become disabled and they're dependent and they're no longer able to care for themselves or commit suicide.
Well, my dad
I see people like that every day in my practice.
My dad could have done it, though. That's a different story. Yeah, okay. Well, that's all I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Out of my little citizen's rule book here on the 14th Amendment, citizenship and states define privilege of second, third, or whatever status of citizenship one selects for oneself or opposed to freeholder with full sovereign rights, apportionment of representatives who is prohibited from holding office, public debt. There's serious doubt as to the legality of the amendment because of the manner of ratification, which was highly suspect. At least 10 states were held by force of arms until the proper authorities agreed to vote for this amendment. He went to talk about a little coercion there at the point of the gun. An excellent overview, by the way, of this was written by the Utah Supreme Court, 439 Pacific Reporter, second series, page 226-276. And also, I'll slide this in before the break, what I said about property owners only having the right to vote. Well, non-freeholders were given the right to vote. That took effect on March 30th, 1870. A lot of people said, look, I don't want some schmuck voting on something when he's not a property owner. He doesn't have any say. We'll be right back.
America is at war right now. It's not a war against Iraq, nor is it a war against terrorism. It's a new war for our independence. At stake is our Constitution and the very freedoms we enjoy every day. You see, power-hungry politicians are quietly advancing something deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim they are merely promoting trade by turning North and South America into a huge economic union. But in reality, it's a brazen scheme to eliminate the authority of the U.S. government, submitting our nation to the whims of a new regional superpower. America as we value it will steadily disappear, as will our rights, our Constitution, and our freedoms. Help win the war against the FTAA. Go to stoptheftaa.org and help keep America free. That's stoptheftaa.org.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Played it. What are you shrugging your shoulders for? Oh, is it? Okay, random rotation. Bill, you got something there that you wanted to get out?
Yeah, I just wanted to read one. Here is one court case that was cited from. It's actually from back in 1886. This was prior to when we ruled on public policy. This was back when we actually ruled on public law. And it says a basic, this is a court citation, a basic principle of American constitutionalism is that an unconstitutional act is not a law. It confers no rights. It imposes no duties. It is, in legal contemplation, as inoperative as though it had never been passed. Now remember, in the Constitution, it says no state shall impair the obligation of contracts. That's in the Constitution. That means it cannot be repealed statutorily. It certainly cannot be repealed with public policy. It can't even be repealed statutorily. If it's in the Constitution, the only way to get it out of there is with a constitutional amendment. There is no constitutional amendment that repeals the government's obligation to protect my right to contract without interference. So it doesn't matter what a statute says or a regulation says. If it's not an amendment in the Constitution, it's still law.
Back to the phones. John in Minnesota. Hello, John.
Yeah, I think we need to reframe this. The government over the years has carefully and insidiously encroached on our right to property.
Thank you.
Now the government has encroached on your body. The government says that your body is now the government's body.
That's right.
Body, and they have the right to dispose of it as they desire. You don't have a right to that. Your body, you didn't design it. You didn't build it. Your body was designed and built by God. You are a caretaker of the property that he gave you. The state has now established that they are now God and that the state God will rule over you in any way that they feel desirable. And that's what's been established.
I totally agree with you.
Now, let me throw in the what Bill was trying to desperately make the distinction between. What do you think the role in the government in on the issue of abortion as far as women's rights as to what to do with their baby or not to do with their baby?
It's murder. It's,
okay.
There's no question about that. It's always been murder. The Lord said, I knew you before I put you in the womb. So who owns your body? God's property. It's not your property. It's surely not the state's property.
See,
and
our
that
opponents,
little black-robed sucker sitting on a bench is not my God. Hello?
That's true. But, see, our opponents would say, if it's God's property, then you don't have a right to assisted suicide or suicide. How would you answer that?
Suicide is not even in the question with me.
No, okay, then let me ask it to you a different way. Where does someone get the authority to interfere in someone's right to suicide or assisted suicide?
They don't. They don't have that right.
Okay.
The only one that has the control on that one is God. And if you want to offend him,
that's between
not
you
a
and
good
him,
idea.
Right?
And you're not going to see him until he opens up the book of life and he goes,
Yeah.
Yeah. Understood. Thank
but
you.
Anyhow, that's what this whole thing was about. It is to establish that the government is God, and we will worship God, the new one.
I agree with you there, sir.
Thank you.
And if we don't worship that God, he will extinguish you. Okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, because what are we doing now? You know, the argument has been going on for a number of years. Was this a Christian nation? Well, people say that, well, no, the founding fathers, they were all deists. They were all Masons. They were all this. They were all that. Well, I would like to know how a bunch of convoluted people, if that's the argument, say just for a second, let's entertain that, how these guys came up with a form of government like they did. Not perfect. And I think the Constitution, yeah, we should have amendments to the Constitution only to strengthen it, not weaken our rights in this country, which they have been doing. I mean, I'll give you a classic example. We had Reconstruction after Civil War. Prior to the Civil War, the 13th Amendment forbade people that had titles of nobility, lawyers, from holding public office. Why? Well, if you don't know the answer to that, then you may as well not listen to this show. But after 1865, what happened? Well, they changed the 13th Amendment. They made it about slavery. Prior to that, it was about... Well, I just told you what it was about. Let's go back to the phones. Jim in Texas. Hello, Jim.
I had to call back and clarify a few things here.
Well, get it out.
First off, the breath of life came from God, and so did the free will. That entitles you to freedom. That freedom can be exercised in any way you choose fit. If you want to give your soul to Satan, you can give your soul to Satan. If you want to destroy your body, you can destroy your body. Under the Commerce Clause, there's a bumper music. Can I hold over?
Yeah, hold on. We'll come back. 800-313-9443. You want to weigh in on this issue? We'll roll through these calls here in this upcoming segment. Hang on, Jim, Dylan, Bob, Rita, and Randall, all from Texas. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Fight Father Time with Cocoon GH. This advanced growth hormone spray delivers impressive results. Listen to what 51-year-old Gail Contax experienced while on Cocoon GH.
My eyesight was failing. My skin was sagging. I was losing muscle tone and my bones and joints were aching. I initially got started on a product called Ultimate HGH. I felt a little more energy for the first few weeks, but then I began to feel tired again. Then I heard an ad on Cocoon GH and gave a call. I learned that Ultimate HGH isn't even growth hormone. I started using Cocoon GH, and the first thing I noticed was my aches and pains went away. After another few weeks, my energy came up, as did my strength and endurance. I'm getting a better night's sleep and waking up feeling rested. My muscle tone and my eyesight both improved after 1 month. My sex drive got stronger, and much to my surprise, my menopausal symptoms went away and my period came back. I'm impressed beyond belief. Thanks, Cocoon Nutrition.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Do you want to plant a garden that just keeps on giving year after year? Then visit the Ark Institute and find out about their all-natural vegetable seeds. Now, these aren't hybrids. They're not genetically engineered. They're the real thing. And you'll grow the best produce you've ever grown. Not only that, you can save seeds from this year's garden and plant them next year. Now, here's the deal. The Ark Institute is offering Republic listeners free shipping on their complete collection of 40 non-hybrid heirloom seeds, plus their best-selling gardening how-to manual, Build Your Ark. A complete family food security package is just $99, and remember, shipping is free. Oh, you'll have enough for canning and freezing and fresh eating and some seeds for next year. Now that is food security. Call the Ark Institute, 1-800-255-1912. That's 1-800-255-1912. Or visit arkinstitute.com. Do it today.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Jim, go ahead and finish. This is your second go-around, so I'm going to ask you to make this brief. Go ahead.
I will do. I had a second point, and then I'll get into the law portion. The second point was just that you have to be free in order to enslave yourself. You cannot enter into a contract if you're not a free man. That implies freedom. The portion of the law is Article 1, Section 8 of the Commerce Clause states that the government has the right to control what it subsidizes. Therefore, the moment you go into anything controlled by government, which is commercial papers of any form, Social Security, stocks, bond, Federal Reserve notes, Medicare, Medicaid, they have the right to control every action within there.
And then that was part of the argument that Terry Schindler was on Medicare or Medicaid.
And they would have the right to pull the plug, because she enslaved herself to the system by accepting that. That you have to enslave yourself to the system to be controlled by the system. If you do not engage in the system, it has no control over you. And that's why the government cannot interfere with contracts, because God is the only one who allows you to get into contracts.
Well, you're going to have a tough time trying to get this out of any judge seated on a bench.
You won't, but the Commerce Clause tells you right there.
Yeah.
That if they subsidize it in any way, they control it.
Can you tell me which clause that is?
It's Article 1, Section 8 of the Commerce Clause.
Yeah, there's about 18 clauses in there. Can you tell me which one it is? I don't see that.
I don't have it in front of me right off the top of my head.
I've never seen it.
The Supreme Court case involved a man, it was, I think, in 1946, that refers to it, where a man was growing 20 acres of feed grain, I think it was oats or corn, and he was taking government subsidies at 96 cents instead of the market price of 56 cents, so they were giving him an extra 40 cents. He decided the following year to grow 40 acres, but he didn't sell the second 20, he fed it to his turkeys.
Yeah, I don't think that's in Article 1, Section 8, though. That may have been some
no, that's
judge...
the court case that referred to Article 1, Section 8, proving it.
All right. All right, Jim, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Dylan in Texas. Hello, Dylan.
Thank you, Mr. Stadmiller. Doing a great job as usual. Your show is my number one favorite radio show.
Thank you
for having Mr. What is your name, sir?
Veith. I'm Bill. Call me Bill.
And your website is justbilleye.com?
No, that's Ralph Winterroud.
Okay. Do you have a website?
No, I don't.
Do you have any books or anything?
No, I don't.
Well, you just have a lot of knowledge. I know that.
I don't even have a lot of knowledge. I've just got some.
Okay. I have a couple of comments and a question. I think we can kind of connect some of the people who might be new listeners along with the people who are strong fundamentalist Christians along with the people who are sticking to the core of what I would call not constitutionalist, but the party. What's it called?
Libertarian?
Libertarian. Yeah. The libertarian philosophy. Okay, and I don't necessarily disagree with the libertarian philosophy. I'm just going to state a couple things because we all know that the government did not create us. The people created government. And I would like to state what is law. And what is a constitution? The Constitution of 1787 for the United States of America is not the Constitution for the people. There was a Constitution of, by, and for some people, and they call themselves the people, and that is the Declaration of Independence from 1776 that talks about laws of nature. That's capital L, laws, and capital N, nature. Laws of nature and of nature's God. So right there, it's identifying the laws of nature are not subject to man, and those are the true laws, the laws of God. And I really appreciate the fact that we're all in agreement about being pro-life when there's three parties, such as in abortion. Well, in a suicide or assisted suicide, there's also three parties, especially if you believe in the Declaration of Independence from 1776 that says our Creator granted us certain unalienable rights, and talks about the laws of nature. They're subject to nature's God. And the Congressional Proclamation of 1777, formed by the original Confederacy, November the 1st stated, it is the duty of all men to adore Almighty God, to acknowledge with gratitude his benefits, to implore further blessings, to offer humble and earnest supplication that it may please God through the merits of Jesus Christ. So, I'm a minister of Jesus Christ, and if I was elected sheriff and I knew of anyone trying to commit suicide or form a contract for a hit, which is what assisted suicide is, then that would be an offense to me because it became public. It came to my knowledge, and I would have to act on it. So if I was sheriff, anyone in my county, my advice to them would be in such a process is don't try to confront government. Don't try to confront the people responsible for safeguarding the people with their private contract for suicide, but rather keep it private and hire a hit, hire an assassin. And whether you believe in the Bible or not,
let me ask you this, because you used the term hitman.
No, I said a hit. That's what I call it. I said suicide or assisted suicide to me is a hit.
Okay. What if your husband and wife had agreed, and my wife and I, we've discussed this before, and how I would want to live and how under what circumstances, so on and so forth. First of all, I would never go into a hospital that would require me to be hooked up to machinery. If I'm in that bad a shape, I don't want to be hooked up to begin with. You just let me go. If you can't stitch me up, surgically fix me, well, then leave me alone. You know, that's a standing order. But what if you have an agreement with your wife, if you're ever in a position like that, And I got to tell you something. I was reading articles yesterday. This goes on even in hospitals more than people even realize. Nurses on floors where they have terminal patients will hasten that person's demise to put them out of misery. Now, going along with what you said, now, if you knew that, if you were a county sheriff, and you knew that somebody, a ward nurse somewhere, was hastening the process of somebody's death, well, then I guess you would have to get involved in that under the present circumstance. But what
even if
you,
someone, as I would say, put out a hit on themselves.
Yeah, but what if you have an agreement between a husband and a wife, the husband becomes an invalid. He's just absolutely, he's useless to himself or anybody else. And you said to your wife, look, honey, if I ever get like that, just do me a favor, get the gun and just shoot me. Would that person be then charged with murder?
If they were in my county and I was sheriff, I would recommend that any such contracts be verbal. And I think we can all agree that the federal government has no dang place in this matter.
That's true.
And the government really doesn't have a place in this matter. But it is a socio-political affair, and that involves the people. And in the Bible, the church is the people.
Sir, how would you get around Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1 of the Constitution, where it says, no state shall impair the obligations of contracts?
Okay, first of all, the Constitution of 1787 is not my Constitution. That's the Constitution of the United States government. My Constitution is the Holy Scriptures and the Gospels.
Okay.
So you would ignore the law?
No, I'm saying that the law, as stated in the 1776 Declaration of Independence under the original Confederacy, states the laws of nature and of nature's God. And laws of nature are not subject to man. They're subject to God. And I think we can all agree that God is the creator, and we're the creature of God, whereas we're the creator of government. Supposedly, that is the philosophy under the Declaration of Independence.
Boy, you'd have a heck of a time being a county sheriff. Yeah.
Well, if any one of us was a county sheriff, that county would be better off.
Well, all right. Well, I thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dylan. Bob in Texas. Hello, Bob.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Well, Bill, you know, I kind of agree with you in part and disagree in part. The word suicide, the first three letters are sui, which means of oneself. And that means that you have the right to kill yourself. As soon as you contract someone else into your plot, they become a murderer. And they can't, the government does have a right to inhibit illegal contracts.
Okay, if a suicide is not illegal, then how can contracting for something that's not illegal become illegal?
Because
especially when the Constitution prohibits any state from impairing the obligations of contract. I didn't write that, and it's never been repealed.
But
are you going to ignore that wording?
And a contract for a hit, like
it's not a hit, sir.
Well, it's a voluntary arrangement.
Yeah, a hitman.
It's an involuntary arrangement.
The hitter and the hitee don't have a contract with each other. I've never seen a person that got wiped out, snubbed out by a hitman. Had a contract with that person.
Yeah, you can change the wording around, but voluntary contracts are very different than involuntary contracts.
Or I might even have less of a disagreement between a husband and a wife, because when they do become married, they become one.
Right.
And that I might even think would pass muster. But an illegal contract is null. And
Bob, you haven't shown where it's an illegal contract.
Because suicide, you know what sui means, sui juris.
Is suicide illegal?
No.
Then where do you get are entering into contracts, private contracts, where you're not violating the rights of a third party, are they illegal?
The contract for death, for a murder, that's what
Please,
it becomes.
You're changing the words, sir.
Yeah,
hold on, Bob. Bring him down. Bob, I'm going to ask a favor of you here, because Bill's trying to illustrate something here. You've got to listen with your ears before you're arguing it. You're mixing stuff here again. He's saying to you, if there are no laws against suicide, if you have a third party that you contract with to end your life, and this is an agreement, this is a contract, he said, how can it be illegal if you contract with somebody to do something that's not against the law? That's the issue on the table. Go ahead.
It's not against the law if Bill does it to himself. Look, you know what? In my family, there have been four deaths, four suicides. out of 7 people. So I'm real familiar with suicide. And what Bill doesn't have the right to do by contracting is to drag somebody else to hell.
Okay, where do you get your authority to prohibit me from doing that? Can you cite it?
Well, the definition of suicide in and of itself.
No, I want to know where you get your authority to trespass on my private contract to do something that admittedly is not illegal.
Well, let's just go a step further. You got a Social Security number?
No.
Okay. And then at that point, the state doesn't have parens patria, but otherwise they would have. And they would have the right to impair that contract.
Okay, so once you get a Social Security number, you're a slave to the state.
Your government
issue. Okay, now, the Social Security number never belongs to the flesh and blood person. That's assigned to an account set up in that person's name at birth. And you know the all caps name. We don't have a social. See, if the Social Security number belonged to me, then I could get rid of it. The fact that I can't get rid of it shows that it doesn't even belong to me. It belongs to the state. So the state can assign anything they want to anybody they want. How does that give them the right to trespass on somebody's right to contract for something that's not illegal?
See, you know, the only thing where we have a difference on this bill is that I believe that suicide means of oneself. And that's what the word means. And that's how it's defined in law. As soon as there's another party involved in that death, it's a murder.
Okay, let me ask you this. Since we're taking things a little bit further, what if you have a contract, a verbal contract with your spouse, that if you get into an accident, you become paralyzed, you're a paraplegic, you're all four limbs, you're from your neck on down, you are just absolutely dead to the world. What, at that point, if you can't do to oneself, do you have the right to contract to have it done? You can't do it yourself. See, now we're going back to Dr. Kevorkian. People
right.
who are contracting with this guy to put an end to their life.
Hey, let me tell you something. I'd be the first one to say Kevorkian shouldn't be in jail.
But, Bob, the thing that you haven't answered and that nobody answers is where do you get your authority to trespass on my right to contract to do something that's not illegal to begin with? Just cite the part in the Constitution that allows you to trespass on that right of mine.
Well, first of all, I don't think that the Constitution has anything to do with it.
Well, the Constitution, the states got together with the federal government, and they agreed on certain powers and certain restrictions of the federal government. Now, it says no state shall impair the obligation of contracts. Now, has there been any amendment changing that part of the Constitution?
I just don't think that you can call it suicide,
but,
Bill,
but,
if somebody
okay.
else...
But where do you get any authority
that's
to come in and prevent me from doing what I want to do that's not illegal?
That was the question was thrown out, and nobody so far in an hour and 48 minutes has come by and said, look, here's where it is.
See, all you can do is say you disagree with suicide. That's fine. I don't
yeah.
argue with that.
Yeah.
You have your right to disagree with suicide. What I want somebody
suicide.
To do is tell
I'm
me where they get authority,
suicide.
Where they get their authority to trespass on my right.
Bob, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. I don't think we're going to get anywhere on this because you're sticking to your opinion. And what Bill is asking is where the authority is in law. Who's got the authority to do this? Does the state?
And when and how did you acquire that authority?
Yeah.
And you can't give authority to the government if you didn't have it to delegate to them. So you have to show me where you personally have the authority to prevent me from doing this before you can even say that this government has the authority to.
Rita in Texas. Hello, Rita. Hi, Rita.
Like an anarchist to me. I'm listening to this discussion about law, and what I'm hearing really is people talking in such a manner that it continues the degeneracy of the basic spiritual character of what used to be the great, wonderful United States of America.
Let me stop you right here to interject something, Rita. It's degenerated to the point now where we're trying desperately to hang on to whatever rights that we have in regards to ourselves and our property.
Well, let me give you one point. I was listening to the man talk about contract.
Uh-huh.
All right. The fact of the matter is that the United States of America got involved in the family situation when divorce was deemed by the United States Supreme Court to be allowed in the United States Supreme Court, because there was, I can't remember the case, but I do remember this, kind of like the specifics, that that no law may be made abrogating the obligation of contracts, and therefore the state had, or the government had, no authority with regards to marriage and divorce. But they went to England. They cited Henry VIII. They went back into England. Now, Henry VIII started this deal about degeneracy as far as Christianity as I know it. I personally believe if anyone who says that they believe in Jesus Christ, they better start examining the teachings of the particular churches they're belonging to.
Yeah.
For example, I'm finding out that the daggone Anglicans, you know, seem to be sanctimoniously embracing homosexuality as being a Christian principle that is not to be recognized as a sin, a sin of sodomy. Furthermore, the abortion issue is not an isolated evil in itself. The abortion issue is an outgrowth of the sexual revolution. Even in New Mexico, I remember 2 years ago, at New Mexico, it was still a criminal offense in the state of New Mexico for two people who were not married,
right,
living together.
Right.
The Attorney General refused to enforce the law. You know, the basic foundation of all government in the United States of America, when it originated during this whole time, was the family. That was a basic unit of government, and they delegated much of powers, you know, the families getting together, you know, for the protection of the family, for the common weal of the family. And as far as the thing about suicide, prior to Nazi communist infiltration of our universities, suicide was deemed a crime. You could get arrested if you tried to commit suicide.
Yeah, but see, here's the point, Rita. If you attempted and you weren't successful, you could get arrested, but if you were successful, they couldn't arrest you. But suicide on the books in this country right now is not against the law. And I understand what you're saying. I really do, but we're looking at 2005 here, where half the country now we keep mentioning unalienable rights granted by God, okay, but what the courts have declared and what the ACLU has declared, that God should not be any part of the goings on of government. We shouldn't adhere to those principles. That's why they're busy throwing them out of state Supreme Court buildings and schools and trying to prohibit people from praying and everything else. The state wants to assume that God.
Well, the state that is operating right now, sir, its synonym is communism. I really recommend individuals to start getting some old books and to start seeing exactly how communism was getting into what were once Christian nations.
I agree with that, but the problem is, see, communism is the one that's trying to destroy private property rights.
It already has done it, sir.
You're absolutely right.
You
but
already
see,
have the 16th Amendment of the United States Constitution.
Rita, let him speak, please.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's okay. But in order to protect our private property rights, we have to start with the most fundamental piece of property we have, and that's our body. And as soon as you let somebody else decide what you can do with it, you've lost your property right.
Actually, sir, may I suggest that the first thing that one needs to do to protect is the property right to the right to bear arms? Because without the right to bear arms, you don't have any liberty. And without liberty, what use is your body except for slavery? And I just want to throw this out to you for an idea.
Quickly.
I saw that Eric Rudolph, you know, is going to stand trial for bombing an abortion hospital.
Right.
All right. There's a principle involved. You know, one of the principles is it lawful for someone, in order to protect the murder of innocents, is it lawful for someone to stop the aggressor, even if it takes death?
Okay, Rita, let me, thanks for your call. I've got to cut you short here. I know you've got strong opinions and you can go forever. If you heard what I said about Florida and this bill that apparently is going to be passed down there, the bill says a person has the right to stand his or her ground and meet force with force, including deadly force, if he or she reasonably believes it is necessary to do so to prevent death or great bodily harm to himself or herself or another. So you're talking about interceding on somebody's behalf to protect their life. Well, that sounds vaguely familiar. Thanks for your call, Rita. I do appreciate it. Randall in Texas. Hello, Randall.
Great show. I agree with just about every bit of it, and I understand the other people's points. And it's just one time back in high school, a PhD told me that one of the age-old things that we're going to be faced with in the future is, where does one man's fist stop and another man's nose start? And that's kind of where we're at with the Schindler case and the right to contract. I agree, if one does it to do suicide, there is a right to contract, but likewise, you could have a contract to murder somebody else, and then
that would be trespassing on that person's right.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's different than agreeing to give up
the right to contract.
Let me interject something here, Randall. I think this is one of the major reasons why you didn't see the Blake trial. Remember Bonnie Lee Blakely?
Right.
Yeah, okay. Well, Robert Blake, we heard he was going to trial. They made a big deal of it before he went to trial, but we saw no coverage of that whatsoever. And what he was accused of doing was exactly what you said, contracting with a third party to rub out his wife. Well, they couldn't prove it.
Likewise, abortion is typically a contract with a doctor. And, of course, that's getting more and more accepted, but it used to be illegal. And now, of course, they're talking about the third trimester, and pretty soon it'll be at the incubator at the delivery room. But anyway... That's one of the things we have, and what it is the definition, and one of the key points I'd like to make in anybody that's doing a living will, and that is that define what is life support. In other words, a breathing machine to me is life support, a heart machine is life support, a liver machine is life support, but a feeding tube and a water tube is not life support. To me, I know a guy that had a broken jaw that had to drink through a straw for 45 days. Now, was that straw life support?
Yeah. Hey, Randall, I wanted to ask you before you jump off here. The Truth Seekers have got a meeting coming up. Is Frank Whalen coming down here?
Yes, sir. That's my understanding. That's the second point I want to tell is April the 9th down in McQueenie from 10 o'clock through the day. And we've got, and then on the 10th, which is Sunday, by the way, down in McQueenie, that's at the old Silver Eagle Tap House down there.
Who's going to be there?
Frank Whalen and Ralph Epperson.
Okay.
And then the same two will be here in Austin at the China Emperor at Four Corners Shopping Center, which is at William Cannon and South Congress.
All right.
And that'll be starting at noon here in Austin.
Do me a favor, Randall. Contact Frank Whalen, because what I'm hearing is he's not going to show up. So if you could confirm that tomorrow for me and get back with me.
I will.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right.
Alan in Kansas, you got about 30 seconds. I'm sorry, my friend. Quickly.
That's fine. Looks like we can chew on this till we start spitting up hairballs. Suicide is academic because it's not enforceable, just like you said. For law to be law and be complete, it must be an enforcement to it.
Right.
Assisted suicide could be enforced because there may be murder involved, and we don't know, and that whole question should go to a jury of our peers and let our neighbors decide that.
A fully informed jury, I might add.
Yes.
All right. Hey, Alan, thanks. I appreciate you holding on. That'll do it for us today. Thank you, Dr. V.
Thank you.
We'll see you tomorrow with Desi Andrews and very same back in studio.
The Virtue Lights unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Virtue Light, with its exclusive black Virtue filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead.
heavy mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN.